Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Awesomo.com NFL Strategy Show Matchups Edition presented by Prize Picks. Well, it's the last one of the season. We've gone, what, this is 21 weeks, something like that. I'm Dave Lochran, happy to have you guys with us. I say it every week, but so many of you have stuck with us throughout the entire season with this show, despite the fact that there might have been 15 games on a slate, 14 games on a slate, and we're going two straight hours, you know, buckle the seatbelts, pour the coffee. Not the same situation today, but still two games to talk about. I'm joined by Matt Savoca at Draftaholic. You can follow me at Laughy underscore D, L-O-U-G-H-Y underscore D. For those of you podcast listeners, championship weekend, Matt, we got two really good games on tap.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, I'm excited to talk about this weekend, but this is actually my first show on Awesomo for week 21, the championship game weekend. So I haven't really gotten a chance to talk about what went down, especially on Sunday last week. And so you're definitely going to hear about how I feel about the overtime rules and all these things. I know you've probably heard about them at this point, but hey, I got things to say here, and we certainly are going to dig into this championship weekend. I don't want to sell it short here. I'm really, really excited about these games. I'm really excited about these slates, and I'm excited to dig into it. But man, what an unforgettable Sunday of football, despite how you might feel about how it ended up going, especially Sunday night.
Are you opposed to the overtime rules, Matt?
I don't think we have the worst overtime rules in the world. Like, we don't need to be like marching on Goodell's office immediately, but okay, this is what I said right as it happened with my buddies who I was sitting there with. I said, as a consumer of the entertainment product that is pro football, I feel entirely robbed of watching Josh Allen try a rebuttal. It's just, we've come to two heads in the last couple of years here where superstar quarterbacks, ascending superstar quarterbacks, are basically battling the established status quo, and they are going pound for pound, play for play, absolutely perfect football being played. I want more perfect football, and I do think it's in the NFL's best interest to get more entertaining football on the field, and we were robbed of it. I think that's objective. You know, you can make all the arguments for, you know, play defense, do this, do that, you know, make the best of the assignment you're given based on the coin toss. But in my opinion, we deserved as football fans and just people watching football to see more Josh Allen and the Bills. You know, at some point, one of them was going to slip up. It just so happened that a coin toss made the Chiefs not slipping up. Outlast the Bills doing the same.
Well, that's the problem. The problem is the coin toss. It's not the problem that if you score first, even though I think both teams should get the ball, which would negate the coin toss to begin with, to some extent. It's the fact that there's a coin toss. I mean, I just watched The Last Duel on HBO Plus. Wildly overrated movie. I wouldn't recommend it, but just have them duel or something. I mean, look, I made that joke before, so it's not as good. But what I'm saying is you can't decide it by a coin toss and then not give the other team a chance. If there was a way to appropriately decide how each team gets the ball, then that's different. Otherwise, just do college rules without having to go from, you know, short field, just do standard kickoffs. But we're here. And the truth is, as bad as that was, I mean, the game was phenomenal, but you can't give up 50 yards or whatever it was in 13 seconds either. I mean, that's a problem, but
100%.
Here we are. And we got the Chiefs still on the schedule against the Bengals, who they look good, man. 7-point dogs on the road still, but 54.5-point total. This could be a banger here at Arrowhead Stadium. And then you got the Niners and the Rams. Jordan, do me a favor. I think I typoed that. Can you put 46 in there instead of 47 for the run, for the sidebar things? So what do you say we dive into this, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go. Let's do this one. And you know what? I'm excited for Cincinnati, who, you know, basically it's their first year coalescing here. And it's suddenly in the championship game, we have a possibility of a Super Bowl rematch from 2 years ago. Let's dig into this one.
Yeah. And if you haven't done so yet, hit that thumbs up. We're glad to have you guys with us. Hit that thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. Both games on Sunday, so we got no Saturday games, but still, we're getting you prepped for it. We pretty much know everyone that's going to be active for the most part, barring any unforeseen news coming up in the next couple of days. So help us get, we're almost at 72,000 subs. We're just hitting 30 likes right now out of the gate, all of that great stuff. And if you're listening after the fact, leave a comment down below. Let us know what you think of these games, your top plays. I always try and read every comment. I always try and respond to them as well. And last thing, if you want to join the channel, hit that join down below. And we will, of course, you'll get the custom emojis, the super chat, free super chats each month, the badges, and all of that good stuff. Of course, too, you will get priority access to questions and comments along with our Discord members. So let's dive into it. APK, I said DFS is like a coin toss too. Society has become full of crybabies in general. I mean, look, I would say I'm the furthest thing from someone that complains very often, especially about things from a societal standpoint. But we just wanted more football. That's all.
Yeah, I feel like this is like the man on couch drinking beer argument of all time. Just give me more good football. That was spectacular football. I don't know what's really debatable about that. Let smarter people than me make the rules. I know they're already talking about the differences between the advantages from going second in college versus the advantages you get from winning the coin toss and how that's actually better. I kind of think that's all baloney. Like the goal here is optimal football for an optimal amount of time. And in my opinion, we could have had more.
Oh, never mind. I should be directing that to Shane, not our boy APKS. Sorry, man. All right. Cincinnati, Kansas City. Let's make this happen. Oh, and we have free content on the site today as well. NBA player projections, NHL player projections, both totally free. If you want to get in on that and check them out, you don't have to sign up or anything. If you just want to, follow along if you're playing NBA or NHL. So the Bengals are 7-point dogs, and Joe Burrow has been spectacular over the final month of the season. Sorry, losing my voice a little bit here, so bear with me. He last week didn't need to do a ton, but he did enough against the Raiders. He didn't need to do a ton, did enough. But then in those final two games, clutch, crucial games of the regular season, he was outstanding, and one of those came against Kansas City. The thing I like about this Cincinnati team, Matt, and we can dig into it now, is they're only playing three wide receivers. There is no, you know, fourth or fifth right wide receiver getting any snaps. At this point, it's Ja'Marr Chase, it's T. Higgins, it's Tyler Boyd. And then you've got C.J. Uzomah, who's also getting a lot of snaps at tight end. If you're playing the passing game here, and unfortunately, our top stack tool doesn't like them quite as much as I do this week and what I think could be a shootout. And the only way that they keep pace in this game is by scoring. I still think there is a lot of ways to get to a Bengals team with what I would pretty much consider a decently concentrated offense without any of those super low end peripheral guys.
I agree here. What a great situation here for Cincinnati, playing with house money. Already have gone further than anyone would have expected this season. And, you know, Joe Burrow threw for 348 yards in what you would say is kind of a meh performance, zero passing touchdowns, but still 9.5 yards per attempt last week against Tennessee. And as you mentioned, you know, we use this reference in basketball all the time, but the Bengals, this young team who's already playing with house money, have seen one go in terms of winning one against Kansas City in a close matchup there, that 34-31 victory. And you've got players in T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase who are young. They're all young, really, that whole receiving core. They've already had huge games against this same secondary. And now, you know, they might have Tyrann Mathieu back for the Kansas City Chiefs. But even so, that secondary looked very, very exploitable, especially when you're playing like Josh Allen was last weekend. So Joe Burrow, I think the ceiling performance is gigantic here, like 350 yards and 3+ touchdowns, especially when we're talking about with Chase and Higgins. Personally, I really like trying to get to Ja'Marr Chase, but 6,700 on DraftKings versus 5,700 on Higgins, that is a very, very big difference when you're talking about players who, within the last few weeks of the regular season, each had 150+ yards receiving in a game. Chase is definitely the one I prefer to get to, but if I have to have Higgins as a consolation prize, I'm totally fine with that. And as you mentioned, the way that they keep pace in this game is that their passing keeps them close, because I don't think the Cincinnati defense, which is worst in schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed of all defenses that qualified for the playoffs, are going to stop Patrick Mahomes, especially with how we saw him play last week.
I don't see it happening either. And I pointed out on yesterday's ownership show with Matt Kajewski and our boy Eric Lindquist, I like Boyd too. I mean, for me, it comes down to an ownership thing. And, you know, while DraftKings specifically has priced a lot of guys lower than they probably should be, Tyreek Hill being one of those guys, and a couple of others just being a little bit underpriced, I think he is one way to get exposure to a cheap player who's the number three in his offense, but we've seen him get into the end zone. Sure, he's more of a slot guy, but good high-powered offense that's going to need to score. All of that kind of stuff, I think, plays into it when there's a total this high and they could be playing from behind. I like Boyd's prop too. I hit that earlier this week. Hopefully you guys are tailing. We can have some fun with these, but I told you these move a lot. It was 35.5. Now it's at 39.5. It was at 35.5 on DraftKings. I'm just looking at Odd Shopper now. It was at 35.5 on DraftKings. It's at 39.5 now, juiced to the over. So, I mean, I still like it, but getting these earlier in the week just gives you a lot more cushion in the event that it's not the greatest game. But we still have it at a 61% expected win rate. We still have him projected for 53 yards. I think for a $4,200 player on a two-game slate in a 54.5-point total game that's only projected for 22% ownership, that's somebody that I'm certainly willing to entertain. And Matt, CJ Uzomah is another one of these guys where you say, all right, well, the tight end position only has really four viable guys. But at the same time, CJ Uzomah has been super involved in this offense recently. And how does he stack up against the other tight ends for you would be the question.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Yeah, and so, right, like, obviously, we're dealing with a limited pool of players just because we're talking about a onesie position and there's only four total teams playing. CJ Uzomah, over the last six games for the Cincinnati Bengals, has 10.3 expected fantasy points, and that's fourth among all tight ends on the slate, but that's because you're dealing with, you know, you're playing against the opportunities of Travis Kelce and George Kittle, who I know it's been down for him a little bit, but still, you know, you're talking about players like Tyler Higbee who are consistently utilized in the pass happy Rams offense. So Uzoma is firmly in the you can play him category. His salary based expectations and his projections essentially align straight up, and so does his usage. He's not a must play. He's certainly not a value. Or he's certainly not a huge value, but especially when you're trying to tack on a second player for a contrarian stack with Burrow and maybe a player like Chase or Higgins, Uzoma makes a lot of sense in that situation. Or maybe if you want to have two Chiefs players and then run it back with a cheaper player like Uzoma, you know, he's only 3,400 on the DraftKings slate.
Joe Mixon, Matt. Here's another big one, right? This guy's been pretty much doing everything through the air. When you think about it, even last week, 7 for 51 through the air. That's a lot of his production. He's been targeted a ton. Samaje Perine's been an afterthought, and I anticipate that continuing. Nice mug you got there. It came in.
Yes, sir. I was nicely surprised by that. Thank you for coordinating that.
Dude, that one's sicker than mine. Jake designed new ones, and I didn't. That's like a metallic. Oh, that's cool.
Is the green screen kind of going through it? Wow. Okay. Hold on a minute.
Okay, I was gonna say that looks sick.
I mean, it is really great.
I know.
Maybe we have
the same one.
Dang.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's funny. I got sent the hat as well, and I was trying to rock it today, and I realized the green. The bill
is the
same thing as the green screen. So I was starting to splice through. I don't know.
Made it look a little odd. But yeah, Mixon been very much involved as a pass catcher. He has, 26 targets over his last four games? A couple things I'll repeat for those of you guys that haven't watched any of the earlier shows. But he hasn't had a game with more than – with 4-plus yards per attempt since week 12. So – if Mixon wasn't getting it done on the ground through the air, it's pretty much a bust. So I'm not saying he can't do it on the ground against Kansas City, but his ceiling is definitely, his floor, which is kind of important on a two-game slate as well, is definitely buoyed by the fact that he is now getting a lot of targets.
Yeah, and so this is really interesting here, right? Because that's the same trend I was noticing heading into the beginning of the week, right? Joe Mixon has been utilized, or at least from a production standpoint, getting it done through the air. And I did go back and watch that game. I'm certainly not the world's best film grinder, but this guy has burst right now. He looks healthy, and I know they've said he's been a little nicked up in the playoffs, but that's not really what I saw, at least looking at it from my standpoint. And then we look at the projections this week, and then compared it to the prop line. So right now he's projected for 23 receiving yards in our latest run of projections. That's well under his 30.5 receiving yards passing prop, making the under on that receiving yards prop one of the highest ROI bets we see on Odd Shopper for the weekend. And the over on 55.5 rushing yards hitting nearly two-thirds of the time in our simulations. So I think this is really about more of a regression to the mean situation. Like Joe Mixon is the type of explosive player who just gets total yards, and it's currently been happening through the air. But right now our projections actually see that reverting to the ground game, especially considering the fact that Kansas City ranked dead last in yards allowed per rush attempt in the regular season. So there is a weakness there. And one thing you will say, there have been teams who have been moderately successful in trying to limit Patrick Mahomes' reps, particularly in the first half, by having a run-focused approach, at least in the beginning, to keep him off the field. I wonder if the Bengals try that by utilizing Joe Mixon. That really comes down to the offensive line, but if they do, he'll smash that current prop line at 55.5. We currently have him projected for over 70.
Yeah, we 66% expected win rate over there on Odd Shopper too. 19% XROI. You like that bet? I mean, we clearly do over at Odd Shopper.
Oh, yeah. It's our second highest ROI rushing yards bet this weekend right now. So we'll take that all day.
Yeah, man. All right. Anybody else for Cincinnati? I mean, we talked about the stacks, right? It's a stack where you can definitely get the Hill or the Kelce on the other side of this one. The only question there is, hold on. Woo!
Bless you, sir.
Excuse me. The only question there is, I'm quick at hitting that mute button now.
Yes, sir. Well done.
Do we want to run it back with multiple Chiefs? Because I think it's possible that could be the play. I don't think it's out of the range of possibilities that San Francisco and LA ends up being another low scoring game. The Niners have just been one of those teams that can play those close, grinded out type affairs where, you know, they might still lose, but they keep it lower scoring. I have a hard time believing this one will come anything close to that.
Yeah, this one has such a higher shootout potential. And especially when we see divisional rivals match up a third time in general, we see them, they're only whelming and usually underwhelming when it comes to totals. So, you know, not to say the Rams and the 49ers can't explode for, you know, 60, 70 total points here. They absolutely could. But I think this game has a much higher shootout potential. And I do like the call of playing maybe Burrow and then two Chiefs players and then maybe even a run back with one of the lower salary Bengals receivers as well. Burrow, I forget who it was. I think it was maybe Kevin Cole of PFF, a data scientist over there, was posting some charts basically showing that if you take the sacks out of Joe Burrow's game and just look at the actual passes that he's getting off, he is as efficient as Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen on a per pass basis over the last few weeks of the season here. He's playing highly, highly efficient football that has been kind of diminished by the fact that he is holding the ball a bit. I mean, you can't take 9 sacks in a playoff game and expect to come out as a winner twice in a row. You just can't do it.
No, I don't think he takes 9 sacks, but I 100% agree with what you're saying. I get what you're saying entirely. Where do they rank in run blocking this year? Have they been that bad? I thought they were middle of the road.
Middle of the road. They just got bum rushed last.
Yeah. Wasn't good. I don't know. Maybe that just opens up more like safety valve type routes for a Tyler Boyd, but we'll see. Ultimately, what I'm saying is with only 2 games, I know that Burrow and that stack has negative leverage. I get that. But I don't know if it's negative enough leverage with only 2 games to be like, yeah, that's a great spot to get away from is what I'm saying.
No way.
Yeah, no way. Because otherwise you're looking at like the Niners as alternatives, or you're just going all in on the Chiefs, which isn't the craziest idea, Matt. I mean, you look at the Chiefs, you have Mahomes, you have Tyreek Hill, who is clearly back to full strength. I don't think there's any questions surrounding that anymore. Coming off a huge game with a 30% target share against Buffalo. Travis Kelce with the game winner on the opening drive of overtime. And then you've got guys like Byron Pringle. We'll get to the run game, but I got to say, man, Pringle is clearly the wide receiver 2 right now, and he is the 3rd best option among all pass catchers in this offense. Once you start getting down to the Mecole Hardmans and the DeMarcus Robinson types, I got to tell you, and we may have some disagreements here, and people might want to point to that Pittsburgh game where it was never competitive and Mahomes just threw it to whoever he wanted to because everyone was open, and Hill might not have been back to 100%, even though he had that sick backflip. There are a lot of other low-tier options that I'd rather get to than the secondary plays or tertiary plays, yeah? In Kansas City this week. But I love Hill, I love Kelce, and I love Pringle.
I feel like you mellowed with the usage of tertiary from 2020 to 2021. I feel like this is a non-start. All right,
maybe chat, another show. I feel like chat would disagree with you.
All right, we'll see what chat says. Yeah, but I do love the call there because that's what our projections are showing with these auxiliary weapons here. Outside of, you know, Byron Pringle has a projection that is just below his salary-based expectation, but then Hardman's below salary-based expectation. Robinson is below salary-based expectation. So it's really saying, like, if you're playing Chiefs, get to the core passing attack Chiefs that you know, Kelce and Hill. And, you know, we didn't talk about this yet. Did you see that video about Kelce kind of calling the shots on that last drive there?
Essentially orchestrating the offense in the final drive, letting them know that the middle was open, the seam was up. Awesome stuff.
These are the kinds of moments where I just like sit back in my chair and I just go, damn, I love football. Because at the end of the day, At the end of the day, when this game gets its most complicated at its highest point, being played at its highest level we've really ever seen, it comes down to a couple of best friends sitting there going, hey, you go this way, I go that way. And then I think maybe my favorite part is when, like, just casually Kelce mentions, like, hey, maybe I can run this seam route again. And Mahomes sees it and he's like, do it. Yeah. That was the most relatable backyard football moment I've ever seen. It's one of those videos you show when Kelce is being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Just an awesome, awesome moment. Play sometimes, those two players. Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder if people understand how cerebral and how intelligent some of these, like, really good players have to be. It's not all just skill. Like, good quarterbacks, you've got to be wildly intelligent. A good center, right? Like, a good offensive lineman, you have to understand everything that's going on. You have to see everything. You have to anticipate everything. And tight ends too, blockers, pass catchers, the guys that have to do everything. And then you've got Kelce, just sees everything on the field. That's what makes it special, when you see everything. Like, I play hockey, Matt, in no way am I comparing myself to Travis Kelce's brilliance the other day. But what I'm saying is, I play as an offensive defenseman. And the reason I've always loved playing that position is because you can see the entire game develop behind you, right? Like, you can see it. You can see the direction of the game, the flow of the game. You're never behind anything. And as Travis Kelce, seeing him there, getting off the line, just knowing, right? Like, in the biggest game ever with the greatest athletes in the world, I play men's league, you know? But seeing the with no time whatsoever, saying this is how it's got to be done. And he saw the game develop with zero time to process it. That's some really cool shit.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Awesome. It was awesome. Yeah, that's a really good point too, because what he actually said as he was coming back to the huddle for that second play right before he caught the seam route is, hey, if they're going to play me like that, this is what's going to be open. Like, he was just like, oh, okay. And it was like second nature. And you know, it's just one of those things where, like, if you've ever played backyard football with your friends and you know that one friend who you got lined up next to you is like, hey, if he's going to just, like, sit back and wait, just, like, fling it
this
way.
You see it coming. You see it,
like,
develop.
You know, it was just, like, fifth grade all over again. It just, you know, it brought me back to that moment and to think about that happening. Anyway, we digress. You're playing a slate. You're trying to figure out who you want to play between Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. We're always kind of viewing this the same way when we do simulations. And maybe this is a bit of the math just kind of leaning one way versus the other, but Tyreek Hill tends to have a slightly higher ceiling projection. Both of them have 150 yard receiving yard ceilings here. Both of them have two touchdown ceilings here. The Bengals are the worst team of all the playoff qualified teams in team defensive schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed. Mahomes is playing, you know, basically the old school unbeatable superhero Mahomes level last we saw him, and betting against them is probably a bad thing.
Steven said, maybe someone in the Bills defense should have said, hey, we're leaving the seam open and they have Kelce. Right. But they didn't. That's the thing. Kelce saw it. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah. In my opinion, I mean, obviously we're all just chatting, so it's like, we're not going to see a diatribe paragraph on YouTube chat, but I do think they're probably playing to stop something else. Playing to stop, like, Tyreek Hill deep ball, you know. And so Kelce realizes, okay, well, if that's the case, they're probably going to do that again. Middle of the field's going to be wide open. I'll fake it.
While we're chatting, Matt, where are you at on the Russia-Ukraine conflict?
Yeah.
All right. The backfield for Kansas City is really difficult, and we haven't had updated ownership yet. So hope we'll get that soon, you know, within definitely today. But the one thing that I think Gajewski and I and Eric and Ben the day before, we all kind of agreed on was if Clyde Edwards-Helaire really is, and the problem is if everyone's coming to a consensus here, you may see ownership flip a little bit. Not that we're influencing it, but if everyone has the same opinion, it's likely to be shared by a lot of other people as well. You get where I'm going with this. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire truly is like half the ownership of Jerick McKinnon, given that that was only Edwards-Helaire's first game back, and he looked very good, he looked spry on the ground. If he is, in fact, that much lower owned than a guy in McKinnon who has had one good game this season and was legitimately not part of the offense only 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, then I think I'm very much willing to take some shots on CEH and say, this could be his day getting the rock, whereas everyone else just banks on McKinnon being the one getting all of the opportunities again. And we also have to factor in what's going to happen with Darrell Williams.
I think Darrell Williams is going to play here. This is one of those situations where I don't know if it's ultimately going to matter for in terms of producing a have to have it tournament winning score. Yes, could a Kansas City running back produce that in this game environment? Absolutely. But I do think that this is the dreaded three-headed monster, and you probably just want to anchor yourself to ownership projections here. It's fine to take a stand, but what I'm probably going to do is just, you know, right now, as you said, we're probably going to get an update soon here later today, but if Jerick McKinnon's coming in at 44, 45% ownership and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is at 24, 25% ownership, I'm probably just going to have one of them in a third of my, each of them in a third of my lineup. So about 33 each. So it's a little bit under, but not really on Jerick McKinnon and a little bit over on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but not really. Because I agree with you. That's what I saw, but I can't say I feel very strongly about this. We're talking about the players who are running back 4 and running back 5 on this slate, kind of devoid of bell cow running backs in our projections, and running back 3 and running back 4 in salary. So they are slightly below salary-based expectations, but you know, we're starving for running backs. You're probably going to need to toss one up here. I think Darrell Williams is looking at probably 5 total touches. So he is a large field tournament player only. I think McKinnon is as explosive as we've seen him, but I think with that first round pedigree, if Clyde is ready to go, they will keep ramping up his use.
Yeah, Ron says McKinnon's the guy. Williams isn't even playing no more. LMFOA, I'm assuming AO, or he's laughing off his ass. Either one. Yeah, well, he was inactive last week, and he wasn't 100% in the wild card round where they didn't need him, and he fumbled. So I wouldn't bank on him not being involved at all. I think he'll be scarcely involved. I don't think he'll be involved a lot, but if McKinnon's almost 50% owned where we have him right now, all I'm saying is you're going to have to make some calls. That's all.
Yeah, he almost fully participated in practice. There is no reason a third running back can't plunge into the end zone. We're talking about trying to win a millionaire maker here, not like this guy's going to score 30 points because he might be back.
Correct. And if we're trying to win a milli, Clyde Edwards-Helaire owned by less than a quarter of the field, I don't feel good about it. I've said it all week. I don't feel good about this backfield at all, which is why I'm willing to take some shots on the lesser owned player. Because if it's a spot where I just have little confidence in being able to predict which one of these guys it's going to be, I'll go with the one that's a fraction of the ownership and is the same price. Because Matt, let's be honest with ourselves. Would you be shocked at all if this is a 50-50 split and Edwards-Helaire is the one that gets the goal line work? No, right?
No, not at all. I don't have great reads on Andy Reid's but running back usage. And plus, when Patrick Mahomes is balling, all they do is create – they just use the run so that they're setting up more passes. We're talking about one of the most pass-happy teams in the AFC and in the NFL.
It's nice, though. I love when we get some of this debate in chat. It's good stuff. 2K says – CEH is fool's gold. McKinnon is the pass catching back. Nuff said. WSC 67, CEH all day. Don't kid yourselves. This is good stuff, man. Okay. Look, CEH could absolutely be fool's gold. But if you don't believe that a guy in McKinnon who has 34 carries and 34 targets on the season can also be fool's gold, then I don't know. I think you might have a blind spot there. And at 45% projected ownership, you know, things get a little weird. Anything else for KC, Matt?
I think we kind of covered it. You know, Pringle is playing a lot better, but his salary now is getting up to a point where it's kind of hard to play him, but you're just attaching him to a game environment. As we said up at the top, like, we're still trying to get to those top two players. That's kind of it. Man, I wish I had a better read on who it actually is going to be, but I still think they have it in their head that they have a super duper star in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and it just hasn't worked out yet.
I hear you. Justin, pronunciation here, never the easiest. Dupengeiser. Is that right? Sounds right, right? He always makes some salient points in chat, though, right? And I just wanted to he said, where was it? It was earlier about the Bills. It's the unrelated to DFS, but it was a good point. Basically saying that he said, seemed like the Bills were playing the sidelines way too heavily, which made no sense because they had the Chiefs had timeouts. Chiefs didn't only have timeouts. They had all three timeouts. It was the first time Andy Reid's ever had three timeouts in a situation like that. And as an Eagles fan, I can assure you, for a guy that coached there for a decade and a half, nothing was more frustrating than seeing this team with zero timeouts late in the game because they blew a challenge or he took terrible timeouts. So good job, Andy Reid. Just unfortunate that it had to happen years after you left the city of brotherly love. All right, Matt. As you said earlier, we digress.
Wait, oh, actually, I want to add one thing to that. Sorry.
Please really quick.
One thing could be Mahomes, and you know, I love Donovan McNabb. He ended up going to Washington back when I was rooting for that franchise. Yikes. Okay, so they, you know, that team was very, very talented. But I think Mahomes, in terms of reading the game, in terms of game management, you know, obviously we're not talking about him being a game manager, but just managing the clock, understanding the game, he is at a whole other level than even other Hall of Fame quarterbacks. So I think a lot of that can be credited to Mahomes and Reed possibly evolving, but it's Mahomes' unbelievable ability that's keeping those timeouts available. They're not screwing up, you know, the play clock later, so they got to take a clumsy timeout with the, you know, play clock expiring. We've all seen it. That kind of stuff matters in the playoffs.
Yep. Again, keep in mind, when we talk about these running backs, I can't stress enough because I keep seeing these comments in chat. Ownership is huge on a two-game slate. Huge. So if one of them is legitimately half of the ownership of the other one, that factors in heavily. Anyway, prizepicks.com, sponsor of the NFL Strategy Show. They've been riding with us all season long. Apparently, I haven't said anything absurd enough, Matt, for them to pull the sponsorship. So I'd call that a win out of the gate, right?
Absolutely. And you're tempting fate a little bit, but that's all I'll say. Just remember, the reins are still on.
All of my predictions come true anyway. So they'd have to reinstate the sponsorship and apologize, but we're in good shape. But for real, it's a very cool site. Whether it's the desktop version, whether you download it in the App Store, whether you go on the Google Play Store, doesn't matter. Daily prop-based contest. They have an insane menu of props as well. And there's no juice on either side. You're just taking the over or the under on all of these. We've found some real edges with some of these as well all season long. I noticed they came, they didn't stop, but they slowed down on those rushing touchdowns towards the end of the season because they were just such easy money coming in and taking like a minus 200 to score guy, Jonathan Taylor, with no juice and just hitting the over. But there's some good stuff. And you can use our player prop tool. You can use, I would say use Odd Shopper because you have the expected win rate on there. That's huge when you're parlaying. Well, you're not parlaying. In a way it is, but not really. Like if you do a five prop lineup, which you can do on Prize Picks, you 10x your money. But unlike a traditional book where if you hit four or five legs on a parlay and you make nothing, you still double your money on Prize Picks. That's awesome. They have literally any sport you can think of. You can do cross sport entries as well, which makes it even more appealing. And you get $100 first match deposit bonus just by using the promo code also awesome. AWESEMO when you sign up and deposit for the first time. Go to prizepicks.com, Google Play Store, App Store, wherever it is, and use all of our tools. Use Odd Shopper to get you there to help you build winning lineups over there where you're just taking the over or the under. You're building lineups, whether it's 2 through 5. You could do the power play too, where if you hit all four, you 5x your money, but you got to hit all four in order to make money. And if I didn't mention it yet, you also get a free month of Awesemo Plus Platinum, $90 value, everything on the site, every single tool that we have, ownership, boom, bust, player projections, top stat tool, lineup builder. If you want to get the Fantasy Cruncher add-on, you can do that as well. All of our tools built by Awesemo himself, $90 value for the entire month, PGA, MMA, NASCAR, NBA, NFL, esports, everything included. When you sign up using the link in the description or the one that Jordan Klein already did or is going to put in the chat, get $100 using the promo code Awesemo. Get the free month. Check out Prize Picks today. Seriously, you'd be crazy not to. All right, Matt, San Francisco, LA Rams. Good news is Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have his shoulder listed on the injury report this week. Maybe that will be some boon to his success, but it's been an ugly fantasy performance through the first 2 weeks of the postseason, yet they keep winning.
Yeah. So I missed who we were talking about at first. Garoppolo. So this is really interesting.
My transitions are just that smooth.
They're so smooth that I missed the one important proper noun. Darn it. So Garoppolo is a really interesting player to me because I think there's a possibility that this game is a defensive slog. Yes. But in the times that our simulations show that this game becomes a shootout, then there is absolutely no way that he will go under his current prop lines for his passing yards. On Prize Picks, you know, we were just talking about how great that website is. Right now, Garoppolo's passing yard prop line is 210.5. We haven't projected for 250. We haven't projected for under his season-long average. We haven't projected for right at the average he had in the two games that Garoppolo played against the Rams this season. We're not, like, bullish on him at all. This is just a math situation here. He hits that mark, like, two-thirds of the time in our simulations, maybe even closer to 70%. You know, on other books, we're seeing like 224.5. So that's a situation where it's so different. You might just want to hit up Prize Picks as well. So that's one I really like. And you know that if for some reason Garoppolo can actually bring it, then this these chances for San Francisco skyrocket in terms of win probability. One huge boost I think they have is George Kittle. I don't think George Kittle is going to see a whole lot of Jalen Ramsey in the middle of the field. And he's your best friend if you need a short area target within 3 seconds because Aaron Donald is bearing down in your face. So I do think George Kittle, who's been limited to 60 total yards in the two games against the Rams this season, definitely outpaces that this game. And if you're doing that, you can pair on Jimmy Garoppolo. It's fine. He's obviously the fourth of four QB still on this slate.
I think I will have zero Garoppolo. However, and I don't know yet. I haven't crunched lineups. I haven't finalized anything. However, I definitely plan on having some of this passing game, namely George Kittle. And you brought up some good points about Kittle for sure. Listen, if his price is going to continue to plummet, this is another one of those spots where I said this to Adam on the deeper dive the other day, right? Who was it that said, you know, buy when there's blood in the streets, right? From a stock market standpoint, was it Rockefeller? Was it John D. Rockefeller? I don't think it was Warren Buffett. He might've been like the be greedy when people are fearful and fearful when people are greedy. Either way, look, I'm not very smart, so I don't remember these things. But what I do know, Matt, is that
side chat.
what I do know is the same thing is applicable to DFS if you're contextualizing it right. Like, it's different. Like, when they say buy, there's blood in the streets, and you're looking to buy blockbuster stock, you may have miscalculated. Okay. Obviously, I'm talking about years ago. If you're looking at a player that clearly is on the downturn and, you know, there are reasons to believe that he will never get back to where he was, totally different. But when it's a guy like George Kittle, who we know is still one of the preeminent tight ends in the league, is an absolute freak of nature as a pass catcher and can still go off for huge games. And the Niners have not played in really any negative game scripts recently. The last one was the 17-0 game that they were down and then promptly came back and made it a close game really quickly. Really the less horrible game script they've been in was Arizona way back when Arizona was actually playing well. Even the Tennessee game was competitive in a one-score game throughout. So what I'm saying here is if you're worried about Kittle's recent performances, that makes sense. But it's absolutely no reason on a two-game slate not to look at him and think that he cannot go off for a huge performance. He absolutely can.
Very, very well said. Because
hey, thanks, guys.
Let me present to you a novel case in sports history. George Kittle might be streaky as a receiver.
Yep.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. We've never heard of a streaky athlete in our life here because it really has been a set of streaks here for the second half of the season. Yes, I agree that George Kittle has been utilized more as a blocker because they've been in more run-heavy game scripts. But as Gajewski was pointing out all last week, George Kittle is still running 100% of routes. 100% just equals like 22 to 25 routes some weeks.
He still leads the team in routes run in the playoffs.
Exactly. And so, you know, what about the streak before the four-week streak where he was kind of met receiving? You know, he had a three-game streak where he averaged over 100 yards receiving. 129 yards receiving was his average in those 3 weeks, and he had over 90 in each of them. So he hasn't had that in a few weeks, but you know, the ceiling game for Kittle is as high as Kelce, is as high as any tight end who's ever played. I don't know if they're absolutely going to need that. They certainly don't want to play that way. But when we're discussing range of outcomes, George Kittle has a special top end of the range of outcomes that most tight ends would never dream of having.
Thank you, Jordan. Baron Rothschild. That's right. That's who it was. Bye when there's blood in the streets. Hey, we got the Fan Up show coming up after us as well, guys. You should definitely stick around for that. You don't even have to go anywhere. It's on this very stream right here. So as soon as Matt and I go, you've got it. Who'd you say it was? Greg and Terry with the Fan Up show. They've been running some huge contests over there at Fan Up. So definitely would urge you to stick around if you want to talk more football, want to talk more ways to win money for this championship week. They got the Fan Up NFL contest stream coming up directly after this. It's Greg and Terry. So, yeah, don't go anywhere. Should be actually, hold on a second. Let me make sure of something here. They did. Okay. Because last week they scheduled us to like 12:15. This one's to 12. We could go. I have no doubt.
No questions. Yep.
But we'll probably be good on an hour here. What are you doing with Debo?
I think it's a fool's errand to fade this guy. I get why our projections are never that bullish, because it's actually less valuable to be getting rushing attempts than it is to be getting targets. I know these things. I know these studies have been done, long done. But still, when a team is running the ball up the gut with Debo Samuel on 3rd and 7, with the game on the line with 2 minutes to go, and it's working, I don't know what we're doing here. Like, why are we being so foolish in saying like, well, it's going to regress back to the mean? Like, Debo Samuel is playing out of his mind and it doesn't matter where he's getting the ball. We all saw that kick return to start the second half too. They said, oh man, Debo hasn't been touching the ball enough. Let's just get him back to return a kick. Boom. Immediate impact. There are only certain players who can keep this up for an extended period of time. But who am I to say that Debo Samuel is going to stop this week against the Rams? They're going to find all sorts of ways to get him away from Jalen Ramsey. They're certainly going to see each other, but it's not going to be a situation where Ramsey follows them all over the field either. I don't love the salary. It's not something where like he's an absolute must play, But to say that his projection below salary-based expectation makes him a bad play is just categorically false.
Yeah. It's so tough, though, when you're sandwiched in between Kupp and Hill. It's tough because I don't know what his receiving workload is going to look like. I'll go back to the negative game script, though. If this does, in fact, happen to be and this is the problem with the Niners. If it's a neutral game script as it's been or positive as it's been with this team for just weeks on end, right? They have just been involved in so many games that haven't gotten out of control in the opponent's favor. Then it's probably more Debo rushing attempts. It's less passing attempts. Same thing with George Kittle. If they fall behind and are playing catch up and Matthew Stafford looks as dominant as he did last week against the Tampa Bay Bucks, then it could look a little different. And you could see that Debo game where he had, because the last like truly negative game script was against Tennessee. And that wasn't even truly negative. They were just playing from behind and he was targeted 11 times. So I don't know, man, he's seen more than six targets once since week 9. Great on the ground, but it worries me a little bit. I'll be honest with you. It worries me a little bit.
I just feel like Kyle Shanahan looks at Debo Samuel and say, he's a total touches guy. We will generate X amount of opportunities for Debo Samuel. And this is how we will do it in a way that's advantageous for our team. I think that is the most optimal way to approach superstar players. So I understand why we are not bullish on him when we're just talking about simulations and regressions to the mean. We are math focused over here. I completely understand that, but let's not deny what we're seeing on the field here. We're seeing one of the best players in the league. And if we didn't have the player on the other side of the ball who broke every receiving, DFS record in the book, it feels like, we would be talking about Debo Samuel as having one of the best seasons in the NFL.
In a vacuum, who do you like more, Debo or Tyreek Hill?
It's Hill. It's Hill.
Okay. I'm just curious because, it's only a 2-game slate, but yeah. All right. Backfield for San Francisco. And hey, hit that thumbs up if you haven't done it yet. We're at 75 already, so appreciate you. 260 plus people watching on a Thursday. If you forgot, that's okay. You could still atone for your sins here. And if you're on mobile app, maybe just click out of that chat for a second and hit thumbs up. Greatly appreciate it. Helps us feed the algorithm. We got to play the games here sometimes to get where we need to go. You know how it works. All right. And subscribe to the channel too. Matt, Eli Mitchell, we just talked about Debo, who is essentially a wide back, as he calls himself as well, getting a lot of opportunities out of the backfield. But Eli Mitchell, this is the crazy thing. He has had less than 17 carries 2 times this season, both of which came in ugly losses to the Arizona Cardinals. That's it. And prior to last week, he had seen 21-plus carries in 6 straight games. So I'll go back to my original point. If this game is competitive, and I know only 17 last week, I still think that's a bit of an outlier. If this game is competitive, Eli Mitchell, they're going to run the football as much as they can because they have one of the best run blocking lines, one of the best run blocking tight ends in the league. And Mitchell will probably get his carries. Question is, can he produce with them? And what is his involvement in the passing game?
It's certainly not out of the realms of possibilities that at the end of the day, in the optimal lineup, we see Eli Mitchell there. He's had huge games, but I don't think he's going to produce a have-to-have-it ceiling score. We've got one game over 25 fantasy points this season. If you're looking for like a small field value play, I guess he's fine because he's probably, if you're looking at percentage chances to hit 2x, which is only really helpful in things like cash games, Eli Mitchell's probably up there towards the top. But if you're looking for ceiling probability, I don't know if I love Eli Mitchell. Certainly, it's in the range of outcomes. He's getting plenty of usage, as you broke down there. But for me, I am going to be under the field on Eli Mitchell. In our latest run of ownership projections, we saw nearly 40% ownership projection here for him. And I'm just going to be way under that right now. In expected fantasy points per game, even on this slate with only Joe Mixon as a bell cow, he's third among running backs in expected fantasy points per game over the last 6 weeks. That's only the weeks that he suited up in. And I guess like negative game script is one way to look at it. But I just see that when push comes to shove, when they actually need a big play, they're going to be looking for Deebo Samuel or George Kittle.
Let's hope. You like any Juwan Jennings or Brandon Ayuk before we wrap it up with the Rams?
I don't like Juwan Jennings, but salary dictates that the projection is ahead of that salary-based expectation. So he will mix in more so than Ayuk, who I just don't like the salary that much.
So when it comes to the Rams, I think this is kind of one of the easier things to diagnose is Cooper Kupp. At this point, you know how good he is. You find ways to play him. And that's why I mentioned like a Tyler Boyd earlier. Tyler Boyd can open some things up. I think Van Jefferson, if he plays, he didn't participate in practice yesterday. I think he opened some things up. They're running three receivers outside of like maybe a little bit of Skoronek, but Van Jefferson is still running a ton of routes. He's ran four fewer routes than Cooper Kupp in the postseason alone. He's just only getting targeted on 7% of those routes, which sucks, but he's very cheap. I think that's a good way to get there. So for me, Matt, it's not, am I playing Cooper Kupp? It's what are the best ways to make it so you can comfortably play Cooper Kupp? And I think guys like Boyd and Jefferson and Pringle will really open those things up for us.
I agree with all three of those names. And I actually think Cam Akers, again, I know it doesn't look like a player who has been overly efficient, but in expected fantasy points, you know how I love that metric. The opportunity has clearly been there. He is behind only Joe Mixon in his last 4 weeks of usage in terms of expected fantasy points per game. They clearly want him to be a thing. And I don't know if Darrell Henderson is going to come back this week. It looks like he might. Sony Michel is certainly still going to mix in. But Cam Akers is that player that I think could be that value running back. He's the fifth highest salary running back, and we have him projected well ahead of those expectations. So I think if you're looking for a value at that position, man, I'm going to plug my nose and play it. I don't love it against this San Francisco defense that has been really strong of late, but I think he's another one to add to that list if you're trying to talk about value plays to get Cooper Kupp.
Who was that? Who was the last one?
Cam Akers.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I was 100% off of Akers last week. However, you had Aaron Jones, you had Devin Singletary, you had Leonard Fournette, you had all of these guys that opened things up a lot more than you have this week. Derrick Henry was in there as well. Not cheap, but just another running back that people were getting to. This week, you don't have that. So you've got Akers with a wildly inefficient performance and two fumbles, no less, that he lost. Could have lost him the game, too. Coming in, though, 24 carries last week. Assuming that Sean McVay doesn't mix things up, assuming that Darrell Henderson doesn't, if he's active and he plays, doesn't steal a lot of opportunities, and Cam Akers ends up still being the bell cow, this is a spot where I'll say, all right, now I'm perfectly willing to get to Cam Akers. Let's just hope he doesn't fumble again. That's the only concern here. Wrap it up, too, with Kittle. I'm sorry, Tyler Higbee, and then like an Odell Beckham. Because we agree that if Jefferson plays, he's cheap enough, despite the fact that he's been not used very often, but still on the field for every damn play, and he's cheap. What about guys that like Higbee and Odell Beckham?
See, I think both are just access to the game environment. So really what this means is I'm buying in to this game, hitting a shootout potential, which we've already talked about being lower probability than the AFC championship game. But still, Odell Beckham, they clearly have a huge package of plays for Odell Beckham in the red zone. They want him to score. They want him to be used off of Cooper Kupp. And so he is still my favorite secondary option here. But Tyler Higbee, again, an expected fantasy points per game. They don't lie, 11 per game over the last 6 weeks. That's DraftKings scoring. That's second among all tight ends, higher than Kittle in that six-week span, below only Travis Kelce. So certainly someone I will play at 3,700. But I feel like that's still 3,700 access to a Cooper Kupp Matthew Stafford stack or a Cooper Kupp Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle stack or something like that. I'm just tacking that them on when I'm stacking this game environment. I don't know if this game underwhelms compared to the AFC Championship game that either player, unless they score two touchdowns on, say, four or five targets, is getting into the optimal lineup.
I just got a notification. Our boy Steve Buzzard, the Colts, who's going to be on the contract with me tomorrow, is in office hours right now over on our Discord chat. If you're a premium sub, check that out. He's amazing at, like, really helping people answer all their questions and helping them improve their DFS game. Like, I'll just sneak in there and look at what's going on, and nobody better at helping break things down and answer questions. And if you're not a premium sub yet, you can do so a multitude of ways. You could do a week, you could do an express pass for any sport. You could make an investment out of it and go with the whole year for every sport. One sport doesn't matter. You can do the full month. If you want to do all access, Awesomeo Plus weekly, it's $29.99. I think the best bang for your buck, other than a year, which is, you know, a lot for some people, but if the whole month with every sport, getting the ownership and the top stacks or the top golfers tool or the top fighters tool, you name it, or the boom bust tool and the lineup builder for all of these sites and sports is the month, and just going month, Awesomeo Plus Platinum, every sport. If you go to awesomeo.com/join, though, check it out. There's a million different ways, no matter what your style is, how serious you are, what your budget is. But yeah, when you sign up, get in our Discord. It's a great community. And the office hours where you've got the pros helping answer your questions is a huge, huge thing that I don't know if enough people take advantage of it, but it's been popping off lately for good reason. We'll wrap it up with this and then turn it over to Terry and Greg. Quick little Awesomeo Hall of Fame. Jordan, do we have any new ones on here? Yeah, we got some. All right, let's do it. Awesomeo.com/avatar if you want to get involved here. We induct you into the Hall of Fame every single day, and you get a free month of Awesomeo Plus Platinum if you finish top three in a field of 5,000 or more. And, of course, you have to tweet us at Awesomeo, H-O-F. Shout out to our boy D. Lenny, $100,000. Big win there. We saw that earlier this week. Zane with the $17,000 win in the showdown on Sunday night. Ugly 8 game coming in hot with a $5,000 win. Jimmy VB. Dude, we keep seeing these NHL entries with huge ROI. That was a 5-cent entry. First place out of 24,000. Yes, you win Awesomeo Plus Platinum subscription, $90 value, even if it's a 5-cent entry and you finish top three in a field of 5,000 or more. And Melissa, first place in another NFL contest. Our NHL guys and tools have been killing it lately. Shout out to all of you. Stick around. Greg and Terry coming up right now. It is the Fan Up Show on the other side of this. Follow Matt at Draftaholic. Good stuff today, man. It's been a great year.
Yeah, man. Before we get out of here this final time, just want to say thank you so much. This show has kind of taken on a life of its own with the marathon matches. I'm a Tulsa dog here every single week. And he says, where's our We Survived the Marathon year?
I'm going to get them made. I'm going to get them made. We're getting merch. Some free ones.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. But thanks again, guys. Tell all your friends, except for the ones that you want to beat at DFS, about this one, because we're excited to run this back. Of course, we're going to have all this Super Bowl content, but excited for the years to come of this awesome marathon matchup show. Couldn't be possible without you guys.
No doubt. Again, hit Matt up at Draftaholic, me at Laughy_D, LOUGHY_D on the Twitters, on all the social media. And shout out to Jordan Klein, as always. Phenomenal job producing today's show. We love him. You love him. Fan Up Show coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Stay right here on the stream. You don't have to move. Peace.